My name is Trina Thielen, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for Anthony Gormley's One Another project. The date today is the 5th of October, and the time is 25 past 6. Would you please state your name, age, and where you're from?
My name's David Cope. I'm 37 years old. I'm originally from Canada, but right now I live in Redcar, Cleveland, which is the northeast of England.
And how are you today?
Absolutely grand.
You said that very determinedly.
Yeah, well, I'm quite happy to be here. I think it's something that's very original. A space is now being used, I think, properly. For many, many years, as I understand it, only certain things were allowed to be done on it. It's now being used in what I call a human and interactive way.
And what brought you from Canada to the UK?
Long story. I originally lived here as a child. I lived in Scotland as a child. And I went back to Canada. And I always liked the place, you know. Many, many people say to me, it's a very, very strange thing. People will say to me, why do you live here? The locals, natives of the country, that is. And I'm a very lucky person because I've been able to live many, many places in the world. And my answer is always the same. If I worried about where I was than where I was at, where I'd rather be than where I was at, I would never appreciate and or enjoy where the hell I was. So that's the reason why I'm here, why I stay here. I've been here on and off for 20 years, on and off, you ask? As I see you shake your head. No, she isn't, but that's a nice story. No, few personal things in my life, changes, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been back and forth, but quite happily married, 2 children, settled down, you know, mortgage, all that good stuff in life. Which brings me to my current job, and I'm here today.
And what is your current job?
You would have to ask, wouldn't you? I work for an entertainment business, and I work in their supply chain. Is that a good enough answer?
I want a little bit more. Go on.
All right. I work for Sky. I admit it. No, I've not been paid to be here and or anything else. I'm here of my own volition. Thank you for $3,000, but that's another story. No, no, I'm here of my own volition. And I'm here on behalf of something within our business. I'm here, we have something in Sky called the bigger picture. And that the bigger picture is all about our responsibility to the community, to the environment, and all the different parts of our business and what we're responsible for and the bigger picture that it represents. And I was in a few meetings and I asked many, many people that I work with, my colleagues, and I said, you know, I've been accepted to go on the plinth. And a lot of them shook their head and didn't even know what the plinth was, and here me being the foreigner, turned around and said, well, you know, the fourth plinth, you know, the one that had no money to put anything on. And people just shook their head. And then going on to describe the actual project itself, nobody had a clue. And I thought, you know, that's very, very strange. It's very indicative, though, of our business. We're an entertainment, a communication, an information entity, business, if you will. But our own people don't even know what we do. And here we have Sky Arts sponsoring, the major sponsor of the One Another project, and yet not many people know about it. It was even on our intranet. And that, along with the bigger picture, not many people in our business know about or don't know enough about. And so I'm here, as you can see, I'm dressed in a black shirt with white lettering on it. And what I intend to do today is go up there and promote that and make it just what it is in black and white. And I'm kind of glad that I'm on exactly when I am, because it's 7 in the evening, things are starting to get dark, but it's still light out, so the contrast will be there.
Hey, and why do you think that is, that not a lot of people know about it within your field, within Sky, basically?
Good question. I don't know. It's something that I intend to take back and ask. I want to do this first, and I wanted to come up with something to do. That was first and foremost. Now I found what I want to do for my hour. Once I've done it, I will take that question back and ask those very people, you know, how do we, you know, with the brand that we are and as big as we are, why we within the business don't know about these things. We're very good at promoting things. You know, you look at Sky Sports, for example, you know, what a fantastic entertainment piece of entertainment that is. That whole business itself is Sky Arts. Sky News, I mean, they win awards all the time. And yet, we don't know about ourselves and the responsibilities, etc., etc.
And how did you find out about the project?
I knew about it. I saw it when it was originally commissioned. The Mayor of London commissioned it. I mean, there's many, many things have been, like I said before, many, many things have been done in the plinth, but it was when it was commissioned by the Mayor of London. And all the things that led up to it and Sky being involved. So I got to see and know about it. Bit of an extrovert myself. So, no, I thought, hey, that's something I could get into. So, no, I've been following it.
What have you thought of the other participants?
Varied. I guess would be the easiest way to describe it. Some original stuff. You look at the last guy that was up there, Adam. I mean, he was hilarious. I mean, he was laughing. It was funny because he was laughing. I mean, he had his big head on and everything else. And, you know, he'd been up there, he'd been dancing the whole time. And you never really heard anything on the microphone. But at the very end, I mean, he was just laughing away inside that big head that he was wearing. And it was funny because his laugh, I said to him afterwards, I said, you know, it sounded like you were laughing at everybody who was laughing at you. And he said, yeah, well, that was exactly it. That's what I was up to. But you could hear that in his voice. And that was a neat thing that you were able to read without actually seeing him and seeing what he was up to. You could read in your mind what that laugh was all about as he was looking at everybody else and you're seeing all the people look up at him. So, and then I've heard of some very strange things that occurred on the plinth, which I thought were rather interesting. Some of the trials and tribulations, we might say, and the things that the staff have to contend with. Some of the boring stuff. As you so eloquently explained to me, I made an assumption about one of the other plinthers, which was he appeared to be, for all intents and purposes, doing nothing, but once explained that was him out of his comfort zone, and he did that to come out of his comfort zone. I thought, yeah, this project is fulfilling on many different levels for different people for different reasons.
And what reason in particular do you think you're going up there for?
Because I can. first and foremost in my mind, I must admit, it was because you could. Nobody was allowed up in the plinth before, any of them, not just this one. And then to have the opportunity to actually go on to something that nobody else was allowed on, I thought, well, that's quite original. And I, you know, not, and then there's the, then there's the monarchy thing of looking down on people. No, it was just the fact that not everybody gets to do that. You know, we look, a lot of people, you know, not everybody gets to go into space. You know, what was this last fellow just went up the other week? It cost him $18 million or whatever the hell it was. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to do something that not many people will get to do.
I'm going to spend my hour up there
in black and white, communicating, communicating in visual as opposed to sound. I just want people to see the bigger picture. And seeing that bigger picture is going to involve me just doing different things. I want people to contact me. And see if they know about the bigger picture. And if they don't, then they need to call me and watch. So using the medium of the internet as it's on, I'll be doing that. I have my mobile phone. Anything else? Yelling, screaming? No. Most of it will be visual.
So what exactly do you mean by the bigger picture?
The bigger picture, excuse me, the bigger picture is understanding where we sit within, who we are and what we're responsible for to others, the environment. Yeah? And understanding what goes on around us, what we do, how it impacts. It's the environment. Our environments, the environment of others, and what we do to impact those.
And how did you come up with doing that? What made you want to do that on the bin?
Because I asked, one was, as I've said to you before, because I was sat, I asked many, many people, you know, what should I do? I've been given this opportunity to go on this plinth. And I had people, you know, come up with lovely ideas like blue latex and all sorts of other weird things. and I don't think that I would want to promote publicly. But everything was relative only to small groups of individuals. It wasn't wide, it wasn't big, and I racked my brains for quite a while. I found out about this about a month ago. And I asked many, many, many people, what should I do? I've got this opportunity, as I said to you earlier. I can go up and I can stand on this plinth and not many people get to do this. But going up there, being up there for an hour, you know, I could just sit there. What is that going to accomplish? Well, absolutely nothing. So I wanted to do something that anybody and everybody would understand. And I seriously stumbled across this about a week ago. I sat there and I looked at all these ideas, and believe you me, this has been storyboarded more times than I care to to go on about. And many questions have been asked, and many things, like I said, have been thrown at me. And I thought, you know, as I said, we're a big entertainment business, and we don't even understand the bigger picture that we're trying to promote. That's my opinion. Other people in the business might go, no, you can't say things like that. But no, in my eyes, I don't think a lot of us understand the bigger picture within. We promote it well. We address it to the public and certain pockets, and we're beginning to understand. This has been out for over a year. And slowly, we're starting to realize this. Supply Chain Environmental Program, the SCEP, and it just shows what we do, what our waste is, and are we being responsible? And we need to become more responsible. That's the bigger picture. That's what I'm doing.
So would you say the environment is something you're quite passionate about?
Yes, it is. Coming from British Columbia, it's funny. It was a great Tony Blair became Prime Minister. Yeah, God, we're going back a while. Tony Blair became Prime Minister, and one of his first mistakes was talking about Canada and the United States in the same breath. That was a big mistake because he got a few Canadians quite upset about it because you know, thousands and thousands of lakes can't be wrong. The environment to Canada is very precious, and we guard it. We have some of the strongest anti-polluting laws in the world, if not the strongest. and you look at it, it's one of the things I like when I go back there, and I guess that's the reason I go back to Canada. It's not so much the people and everything else. It is being, like I said, I come from British Columbia, and it's lovely just to go in the mountains. And, you know, you can be guaranteed you can stick your hand in a stream, and that's good, clean water. And that, you just don't get that. Being able to, I live in a, I come from a little town called Hope, and Hope's a very small community. And I can walk from my parents' house, I can walk for 15 minutes and be gone in the woods and just be away by yourself. At one, so yeah, the things I miss.
So could you tell me a little bit more about Hope and growing up there and your family?
Hope and growing up, my family. Well, I'm the eldest of three brothers. What's Hope? Hope's population of 5,000 people. It's located northeast of Vancouver, 100 miles. You literally drive for 70 miles along a flat plain, and then all of a sudden you're into the mountains in a place called the Fraser Valley. Hope is the end of the Fraser Valley. It's the gateway to the rest of Canada, believe it or not. It's one of its one of the names it's been given, because the Trans-Canada Highway, the 401 that goes across Canada, starts in Hope. So one of its claim to fame. It doesn't have much else. Actually, it does have one of the claim to fame, believe it or not. I was talking about water a little earlier. Hope's water regularly wins the prize of the best water in the world. Now that's, yeah, so you were asking me earlier, you know, where does this say environment seems to be very strong? Well, there's a silly little fact for you that's not so silly. It's I don't know, fresh, clean. It's invigorating. I'm sitting right now talking with you, and I just feel like I've got a breath of fresh air. Stepping when it rains, and you're out there, you can the smell of pine, all those smells that companies try to bottle and create and charge you an absolute fortune for it to go, you stick batches and it goes psst, psst, and you can have two different smells all at once, and you can have cinnamon, you can have pine, and you can have them every 5 minutes if you want them. To be able to go out and they're just there, that's the environment you're in. I mean, that's different. That's real. You can make it up as much as you want, but why don't you go experience it for real? Well, it's funny. I don't live in London. I live in Redcar. Redcar is on the northeast of England, and it is the football team, Middlesbrough Football Club, and the fans are called Smoggies because they live in smog. I don't know this to be fact, but apparently it's the biggest industrial area in Europe, if not the world. It's about a 10-mile stretch. It's a 10-mile stretch, and there's steel and all sorts of other nylons made there. There's a lot of an industry going on. And I sit there and look at it. As a matter of fact, I had a very nice, expensive car, and it was dark blue. And I never drove it throughout the week. And it used to sit parked in front of the house. And at the end of the week, I would look at it and go, well, it was dark blue. How come it's red? Because of the oxidants from British Steel, Corus, whatever the hell they call themselves now, was all over the car. And I didn't drive the car much because I had a company vehicle. But I was always washing it. I always washed a vehicle that I hardly ever drove simply because of stuff landing on it from what was 5 miles down the road. And you think about that, and I guess I scratch my head over it sometimes, and people say that, you know, we need to keep the steel jobs alive, and we need to do this and we need to do that to keep these jobs. But I wonder about that sometimes. I look and I think about that stuff all over my car, and I've got two young kids, and how much that's lining the inside of them, you know, because every day they breathe it. And we say, get your kids outdoors, let them breathe the fresh air. How fresh is it? You know, I'm going on to a plinth right now. And what am I going to be breathing? As I sit being interviewed right now, going, do I question sitting in the middle of London, breathing this in on a plinth for an hour? No, I'll do it. No. Question to be asked, though. Once again, we bring ourselves back to environment. And then, you know, you've struck many, many chords with environment to bring it all home, which now the passion for what I'm doing has been intensified, really. You've given me ideas and things. I'm going to do some different things now just because of this interview. So there you go.
That makes you curious. So, like,
you've touched my heart. Because I've had a chance to reflect. You've asked me about where I'm from, which has changed perspective again. Once again, things have changed. It takes me back to my job, even, because in my job, everything changes all the time. It's one thing about the business I work for is we constantly change. We change at light speed. And I always feel good about it. I mean, some people don't like change. What I do, we can constantly change to fit the needs of our consumers. Maybe I'm fulfilling one of my needs right now. I don't know. Question to be asked. But I feel more empowered about what I'm doing. It's gone from... How do I put it's gone from cut, here we go. I guess it's gone from a desire or something to do to maybe a privilege and an opportunity more than I expected, you know. Who knows, maybe my kids will be listening to this somewhere, God knows where, and actually turn around and go, Dad, you actually did something in your life, you know, well done. Not much more to add, really. I just feel uplifted. Strange, because I'm going to be uplifted in about, what, 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, chucked onto a plinth.
Very much.